I do believe that books have helped me tremendously. Sometimes I think they saved me from so many things. And my main connection with the universe has always been via books, through books and stories. So when I say stories can change people's lives, I know that because they've changed mine.
You say that books saved you. There's a suggestion there that it was perilous in some way, or are you talking about it saving you intellectually?
I think intellectually and also maybe spiritually. I was a lonely child. I was raised by a single mother, a working mother, in 1970s in this middle-class Muslim neighborhood for a while, and then in Madrid when my mother started working as a diplomat. So on top of that, maybe loneliness, there was a sense of cultural alienation that came with me. And I was a child who spent lots of, hours on her own. And books really kept me together, kept my pieces together, and gave me a sense of continuity in life, which I was lacking. I think fiction speaks to our hearts and shows us what we have in common. I don't have to know that person's story, but I can connect to that person. I can empathize with that person. These are not dry words. Whereas politics, in the narrowest sense of the term, is based on a very clear distinction between us versus them, and the sometimes latent, sometimes manifest assumption that us is better than them. So fiction unites, or attempts to unite, maybe I should say. But I think politics, particularly identity politics, is based on divisions, constant divisions. It needs to create an other, and it needs the distance to exist. And I want to question that distance. I don't want to take that distance for granted. I think what I enjoy doing in many of my books, if not all, is to bring out a multiplicity of voices and let the reader make his or her own mind. In this book as well, certainly there are things that I'm sensitive about or, critical of. But when I look at the structure of the Bastard of Istanbul, as you said, there are two families. Two things I wanted to bring out. First is plurality of voices, because the Turkish society does debate this question. It's not like we don't talk about it at all. Particularly in the last years, there have been lots of debates. So I wanted to reflect that multiplicity of voices. Also in the Armenian diaspora, I think there's a multiplicity of voices, which I have, heard, experienced, witnessed, particularly when I was in America. So I wanted to bring out all that, but also tell the story through the eyes of women on both sides, believing that we had much more in common than we allowed ourselves to recognize. There's a huge gap because when I look at the oral culture, women are great storytellers. From one generation to another, we talk about Turkey as a society of collective amnesia, but I think women are the transmitters of memory, of cultural memory, particularly from grandmothers to granddaughters. And I admire that chain. And yet at the same time, when I look at the world of written culture, particularly so-called highbrow literature, women's voices are, not well heard, even though there are, of course, great women writers and poets. But overall, editors, critics, journalists, columnists, when you put the entire map in front of you, it's a very male-dominated atmosphere. And the fact that people are intellectual doesn't mean they're devoid of that, patriarchal language.